Emma is 10, and my son Calvin here is 7. And so it's good to be here tonight, and praying for your pastor and his family as they travel. And thank you for the welcome you all have already showed to me and my family. And some of you I've met before, and some of you is new, so I just want to say hello and amen. I love your pastor, and I love those that I've already met, and I love those that I've met tonight. Amen. So good to see you all. And we're from First Baptist. Listen to me. That was a while back ago. Our church just changed names a couple years back, so it's True Light Baptist Church in Lisdon, Indiana. And Pastor Mike Thornsley is my pastor, and just glad to be here tonight. Let me go ahead and turn this mic on real quick. Okay. Amen. Am I on back there? All right, amen. Thank you. All right, we're going to be, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6 is where we're going to be tonight. And I'd like to pray before we get started. And I want to ask God to help tonight. I don't want to do this by myself, amen. So let's ask God's help tonight. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord. God, you're just so good to us. Many things we enjoy, Lord, that you've given us just out of your goodness and faithfulness, Lord. And we're so thankful for the Word of God, just to be able to hold it in our hands tonight, Lord, and open it up. And it's the very breath of God. We're thankful that we can put every hope and trust that we have in the sure Word of God. We're thankful that you promise, God, that it's never changing, that it's pure, Father, and that you'll keep it, Lord. And we're so thankful for all these things, and we're thankful that it's eternal, Lord. And God, we're just asking tonight for your help, Lord. I just would ask that you would help me, Father, to represent you here, stand in the pulpit, God, and the message that you've given for tonight, Lord. And I just thank you for the folks that are here. We do ask that you be with Pastor Nichols, Father, as he's traveling, him and his family, God. Pray that you just watch over him, give him safety, Lord, and bless their whatever they're going to do, God. I pray that your hand would be in it and bless the Father, and give them safety on the way back as well, Lord. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. All right, so we're going to be in Mark chapter number 6. And Mark chapter number 6. And just a little bit of testimony about myself, just so you understand who I am. And I was saved at the age of 17. I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad was, as far as I can remember, that was probably around, I think when I was about 4 or 5, that's when my dad got saved. But as far as I can remember, my dad was always either on staff or had pastored churches. And so I grew up in what would be called a pastor's home. I always taught the Word of God, always taught the truths of God. But I didn't get saved until I was 17 years old. I remember when I was about 8 years old, we lived in San Antonio, Texas, where my dad was stationed in the Air Force. We were stationed there. And I remember about 8 years old that, I had a Sunday school teacher lead me to the altar and lead me in a prayer. And I trusted in that. And I trusted in the fact that my parents were good people and that my dad was a church-going, they were church-going people, and the fact that we were always in church. And so I was just trusting in all these works and all this stuff that I put my trust in, but it wasn't in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I was 17 years old, went to a tent revival, and the evangelist was preaching, and God smote my heart that night. The Holy Spirit of God worked on my heart that night, and I got saved that night, and repented my sins, trusted in the Lord that night. And then in the year 2000, I surrendered to preach, and I've just just been working and serving the Lord at my local church, and just trying to be faithful there. We've been members there for going on, I think, 20 years or 21 years, and just trying to help and do whatever we can, and waiting on God, and serving the Lord and praying that God, I don't know if God would have me pastor or whatever He wants done. That's what I'm willing to do, and so. That's a little bit about my life. My wife was saved when she was in high school, and we served the Lord together, and I'm thankful for my wife and my children, and just praise God for that. So we'll be in Mark chapter number 6 tonight, and if you're looking here, In Mark 6, we know what's going on here, but I'll get into a little bit of it. And we know that starting verse number 14 is where we'll jump in. And it says, King Herod heard of him, and for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others say that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet or one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. And Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, for his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Sorry. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. So John was preaching and went after Herod, and we know what's going on here with Herod. And John just laid it flat out to Herod and said that it was not right for him to have his brother's wife and what was going on there. And so John was preaching the word of God there. He was preaching the truth of God, and Herod didn't like it. And so Herod, had his neck lopped off. And so where I want to get to is verse number 30 is where I want to start with tonight. And so, John was put in prison and then his head was cut off. And so here we jump in at verse number 30 just so we kind of understand what's going on. In verse number 30, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And when he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and there was no leisure so much as to eat. So the disciples had heard of what was going on, and the Lord knew about what had happened to John. And so the Lord here, he's talking to his disciples, and everything is really busy in the life of the Lord and the life of the disciples. You can see anytime that the Lord Jesus is out, that there's crowds of people, there's throngs of people that are pushing around, trying to get as close as they can to the Lord. In fact, we know that there's a time when the Lord Jesus was preaching and teaching that he had to actually step out and get into a boat because of so many people trying to press in and crowd him. And so the Lord here is telling his disciples, hey, we need to get apart into a desert place and rest a while. And I want you to see here, I want to deal with the title, if you would title it, is Where He Guides, He Provides. I want you to understand that tonight, wherever God leads you in your life, He's going to provide. If God is leading there, the provisions of God are already there. They've already been made ready, and they're going to make that available to you through the will of God and through the work of God. And so we're going to see that tonight in how God is providing for the disciples, even though it went away that they thought that it shouldn't go, or how it shouldn't go, or they even thought that he didn't really understand that, what was going on. And if you can imagine being a disciple and seeing the things that God has done and is doing, and then you want to even think that God might not understand what's happening, or the Lord Jesus is not understanding, that just blows my mind. But you know what? A lot of times in my own life, I get the same way. God leads and he provides and he directs in life. And sometimes I follow the Lord and I get to that place where I feel like God is leading me, and I go, that just didn't happen the way that I thought that it would happen. That didn't just, you know, that just didn't, that just, you know, I thought that it would have been better if it would have just happened this way. Well, we need to be careful saying that, because, you know, his wisdom is above our wisdom. His way is higher than our ways. And we don't ever, ever, ever need to put ourselves in the position of God in our lives. We just need to trust God. We need to follow God's word. We need to follow the teaching and preaching of God's word through our local church, through our pastor, and we need to search the will of God for our life and continue in those things that we know to be true. And so the disciples here are working with the Lord Jesus, and so the Lord is talking here, and he says in verse 31, which we've already read, but I'll read it again. He says, and he says unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So I want you to understand that there is a, number one, there is a directed path in your life. There's a directed path in your life. God is, I'll flip over here. I'm going to read real quick. There's a directed path in your life. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1 and 2, very familiar verses. Many of us could quote. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we follow God's will. We follow these things. We follow the teaching of God so that we can prove that these things are right and we can prove that these things are good according to God's word. And so the disciples here, that the Lord Jesus is giving them a directed path. The Lord hears about John the Baptist and he says, hey, we need to get away a while. And I want you to understand, number one, under this directed path, part of that was for safety. If you hold your place here, hold your place in Mark, because we're going to come back. So if we go to Mark chapter number 14, we'll look here real quick. Mark chapter number 14, we'll be flipping back and forth through the Gospels here tonight, looking at different passages, parallel passages of what's going on here. And in Matthew chapter number 14, and verse number 13, it says, and when Jesus heard of it, so he's talking about John the Baptist. When he heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him afoot out of the city. So I want you to understand that the Lord already knew what was going on, and it was for the safety of the disciples. Part of it was for rest, and part of it was for safety, because the Lord already knew what had happened there. And so the Lord, in his directed path in your life and in my life, sometimes he will lead us down these paths, and it is for our safety. Not only that, but I want you to understand, it's for shepherding. It's for shepherding. And that's what the Lord was doing here back in Mark chapter number 6. In verse number 31, he was shepherding the disciples. And he says here, you know, we need to come yourselves apart into a desert place for and rest a while. And the Lord was saying, you know, we have a lack of rest, and we need to get apart. We need to get apart a while and rest. And I want you to understand that in the will of God and in the work of God, it can be very busy. But I want you to know that even the Lord Jesus understands that rest is important. Okay, you need your rest. And so the Lord was talking to the disciples. He said, let's get away a while and rest. And then on down, he says, they had no leisure so much as to eat. So they had worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. And they were tired. There wasn't even a time just where they could really just sit down and just chit-chat for 5 minutes or whatever, and not even time to eat. And so the Lord knew this, and in this directed path for safety, and in this directed path for shepherding, the Lord said, hey, there's a lack of rest here, and there's a lack of food, so let's get apart a while, and let's do these things. And then let's go down to verse number 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. So I want you to understand, not only will this directed path include safety, and it can include shepherding, but sometimes it includes separation. Sometimes the Lord will separate us from something that's going on, or maybe separate us from a group of people on purpose to help in this guiding and in this providing for his will in your life. And the Lord saying, hey, to his disciples, we need to get away from this crowd right now. We need to get apart from this crowd and rest a while. We need to come apart for separation just for a little bit. Psalm 32, verse number 18, he says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Psalm 37, verse number 23 and 24 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So I want you to see that the Lord Jesus, on purpose, in the will of God for your life, there are directed paths in your life, and there's going to be times you don't understand it. I'm sure that the disciples, they probably didn't understand these things, but they had to trust the Lord in this directed path. Not only is there a directed path, but I want you to see that this path led to a place that was desert. It led to a place that was desert. We'll read verse 33 through verse number 36, and it says, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place,
and now the time is far past. Send them away that we may go into the country round about and in the villages and buy them, and or that they, sorry, that send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And so the Lord here, he's directing this path for the disciples. And so they come apart and they get in this ship and they come to the other side here. And these people, they understand who Jesus is. They know where he's going. And the Bible says that they ran, they outran, and they got there before them. And so they get out. If you can imagine being the disciples, the Lord saying, come apart here. We're going to rest a while. We're going to eat a little bit. And they're tired and weary. And they get out of the boat and all these people are standing there already. That wasn't part of their plan, I'm sure. Lord, I thought you said we were going to go to a private place here. We were going to get away and eat, get away and rest. And now all these people, and so the Lord, he has compassion on these people, and he's ministering to them, and the disciples are working here, and they're dealing with these people, and they come to the Lord, and they say, Lord, you got to send them away. You know, you need to send them to these villages and to these places round about so that they can buy themselves food. I want you to see the place that they were led to. Number one, we can understand just from where we're at in verse number 36. He says, send them away that they may go into the countries round about and into the villages. So where they're at, this place where the Lord led them, there's no village. There's no villages. There's no place of living. This is out in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing like that around. And so the disciples are saying, send them away so that they can go and buy food. And we'll go back to Matthew chapter number 14. Let's go back to Matthew chapter number 14. We'll see another thing here. In verse number 15, we read 14 earlier. 15, it says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now far past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. So not only is there no village here in this desert place, but there's nothing to eat. There's nothing to eat here. And go to Luke chapter number 9 now. Go to Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 12. Luke chapter number 9, another parallel passage here. Let's just start with verse number 10. And we'll read to verse 12, and it says, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately in the desert place belonging to the city called Bethesda. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. In verse number 12, and when the day had begun to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and countries round about and the lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. I want you to see, not only was there in this desert place, there was no villages, there was no homes, no nothing there. There was no food, nothing going on as far as food. And there was had to have another visa, so there was no vacation. The Bible says earlier when we're reading in Mark chapter number 6, there was no leisure there. There was nothing else going on there. There was no leisure in this place. And the disciples, they were saying, Lord, we need to get apart and rest. And this isn't really what we thought was going to happen here. And I want you to understand this definition of desert place here. When I looked it up in the 1828 dictionary, it says solitary, lonely, desolate, uninhabited, wilderness, desert place, lonely regions, and uncultivated. So they're out in the middle of nowhere. God has led them to what they think is the middle of nowhere because there's none of this going on. And God's going to do a miracle. I want you to understand that sometimes God will call you to do something. He'll lead you somewhere to do something. And you're not going to understand it fully. And you're going to look at it and you're going to say, hey, there's no villages here. There's no food here. There's no leisure here. There's no vacation here. Not specifically those things, but you can understand the things that you would think would be normal, normal things that you might want to enjoy. God might not call you to enjoy some of those things. The place where he sends you and the disciples are here, they're in this desert place. They're in this solitary, lonely, desolate place, uninhabited. It's wilderness. It's a lonely region, and it's uncultivated. And so just to recap what we've had here, the Lord has brought these tired disciples on this directed path for safety and shepherding and has separated them. The Lord has brought his disciples, tired disciples, to this place, and now they're ministering in this place, and it's a solitary, lonely, desolate, uninhabited wilderness, and it's uncultivated with no villages, nothing to eat, and there's no leisure. There's nothing here. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." You know, many times in my life, I'm wanting to lean to my own understanding. Many times God calls, many times God will lead, and a lot of times I want to know all the specifics before I can get involved. I want to know what's going to happen. What's the plan? How is this going to happen? How is this going to be taken care of? How is this going to be provided for? But I want you to understand that God is the one that's going to do that. If God, where he leads and where he guides, he will provide. If God is calling you to do something, if God is leading you to do something, don't doubt God. Don't try to understand it. Trust God and follow him. And so here's these disciples. And not only the disciples, but now here's the crowd. And so the Lord he's tending to the crowd and he's helping the crowd. And of course, the disciples are helping the Lord Jesus. We know that because we read back in Mark chapter number 6. It says, "When the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto him and said, Lord, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past." So they had already been working with the Lord. Why? The question's why? Why would God lead to this place? Why would God direct them? They heard about John the Baptist, and why would God say, "Let's get apart"? Why would the Lord say, "Let's get apart and lead them over here"? And now all these people show up, and now they're in the middle of nowhere, and they got all these people. They're real tired, and the Lord's even tired. And I don't understand all this. But I want you to know that in this place in your life, this is where you see the provisions that God gives. Let's look at the provisions now. We stopped in verse number 36, but we'll pick up there just so we can kind of understand where we left off. He says, "Send them away that they may go into the country round about and in the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And then in verse number 37, he said, he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?" And he said unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Verse number 39. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. So we understand here that the Lord is going to feed all of these people. We're starting to see what's happening. We already know the story here. There's many more than 5,000. We say this is the feeding of the 5,000. But we know that it's more than that, really. And God is getting ready to work this miracle in their presence. And they're going to be involved in this miracle that God is going to work. And it's through this directed path that God will give you in your life. And it might look like a desert place, but I want you to understand that the provisions that God gives in this path and in this place, they are divine provisions. And so here we see the first part of these divine provisions here in verse number 37. He said, and he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread for them to eat?" He's saying, "Lord, what do you mean give them to eat? 200 pennyworth, that's crazy amount of food. Lord, there's no villages around here, in case you didn't know that, God. We're in this desert place. We're out here where there's no villages. There's nothing out here. And you're going to say, go buy them food? Lord." But the Lord knew what he was doing. He knew all along. He had already prepared this provision. And when Brother Hewitt was here last time, he preached on one of the best messages I heard. He's preached on this young man and the provided provisions that this young man brought, this lad brought to this feeding here, these five loaves and these two fishes, and how that it's possible that Mama had prayed when she was making the bread, and Daddy had prayed when he was catching the fish, and they were preparing this meal, that God would use it in some way. But you know what? The disciples didn't know that. They didn't know that until they were in that place. You know what? Sometimes you miss out on the divine provisions that God has for us in our lives because we don't follow that directed path, because we know, we think that it's a desert place. Lord, I don't want to go there. That is a hard place to go there. That is a hard place, God. I don't want to do that. But you're going to miss out on the divine provisions of God. You're going to miss out on the blessings of God. You're going to miss out in seeing God work in people's lives and in your own life. And so here they are in this place. And God has provided here, he's provided this catering here, these five loaves and two fishes. God had already prepared this. Go to John chapter number 6. You can go to John chapter number 6. And verse number 6 and 7, and it says, "And this he said to prove him." So Philip is, the Lord is telling them, verse number 5, "When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw the great company, when he saw the great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, 'When shall we buy bread for these that these may eat?' He said this to prove him, for he knew what he would do." God already knew what he was going to do. He was testing the disciples here. And sometimes in our lives, you know, we maybe get to the point where, well, who is the Lord to test me in this way? I've done that. Lord, why would this even happen, God? Let's not doubt what God is doing. The divine catering here, this divine provision that God has given back in Mark chapter number 6 in verse 37 and 38 here. He saith unto them, verse number 38, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say unto him, five and two fishes. In one of the other parallel passages, he comes back and he says, "Lord, we have just but these five loaves and two fishes. But what is it amongst so many?" They were focused on the problem instead of the solution. Many times I've been there. Focusing on the problem instead of the solution that God's already had and that God's already provided. If I would just trust Him and walk according to His will in my life and just trust Him, even though I can't see, even though I don't understand, even though I might not have all the plans laid out in front of me, even though those things, I just need to trust God for today and leave tomorrow to Him. My pastor always says, God is the God of tomorrow. He only gives you today to understand. Tomorrow belongs to God. We may not have tomorrow. God may call us home today. So we need to trust God today. If God is calling you, if God is moving you, if God is whatever it is in your life and you're struggling with it, just trust God. Even if it does look like it's uncultivated and it's just a desert place and it's desolate and there's nothing there and it doesn't look like it's going to turn out like you thought or like maybe you would want it to be, trust God and move forward and do it for Him. And so this catering that God provides, and not only that, I want you to understand that how we're looking at the provisions of God in this place that the disciples thought that there was no provisions. Remember, they've already given Him their advice. They said, there's no town, there's no food, and there's no place for leisure here. God, there's nothing. They've already given God what their thought is of it, and God's already said, hey, there's five loaves and two fishes, go get it. I want you to see what else God's already provided for this need that God knew would be there and need their involvement on. Verse number, we're in Mark chapter number 6, and we're going back to verse number 39. "And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass." You see the provision of God? It's not the sitting down. It's the green grass. So out here in this area that's a desert place, out here in this area that's in this path and down this directed path that they didn't think was a good idea, where there's no town and there's none of this that can provide for all these people. There just happens to be grass. And we're not just talking about a little bitty patch of grass. Okay, so if we went out here and looked in y'all's side yard, there's a decent amount of grass here. We're not talking about that. We're talking about 5,000 people plus. You know how much green grass that is? That's a lot. And God's already provided the food, which they thought was little, by the way. And God's already provided the grass for them to sit down in, the place of rest and comfort and leisure in this desert place, this uncultivated, uninhabited desert place. The green grass. Psalm, hold your place here again. We're going to go to Psalm chapter number 78. It says in verse number 19, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? God provided a table in the wilderness here. For these people, for all of this going on, God provided this on purpose for this reason. Let's go back to Mark chapter number 6 here, and we'll look at the next point. So we see that through this directed place and this directed path to this desert place, we see these divine provisions. Now we're seeing the catering, and we see this comfort of the green grass. And in verse number 40, and we already dealt with this, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. So we see that this green grass in this area where God was going to do this miracle, it had the capacity that God knew that it would need to take care of all these people. You know, in your life, you're going to get to those places where you really didn't want to go, and you're trusting God, and you're going, and you're moving forward, and you're going to see that God is going to provide in that capacity. There's been many times where God has led somewhere, and I've gotten there hard-headedly, and I turn around and I go, Lord, you're so merciful and you're so gracious. Look what you have done, even though I didn't trust you. You shouldn't be that way. Because God is faithful. Philippians 4:19, but God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Did God not provide all of your needs for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ? Did God not provide all of your needs for sanctification in your life? You know, salvation and sanctification, your walk with him, you're learning to be more like him. Did God not provide all of those needs right here in the Word of God? Did God not provide all those things? He has. Why do we think that he's not going to be able to provide tomorrow where he's calling us to go? He can and he will, and he already is. We just need to trust him and move forward. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, the king had put Jeremiah in jail for preaching in the name of the Lord. And Jeremiah was calling unto the Lord, and God answered him and told him, he said, call unto me, and I'll show you great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. You've got it taken care of. The last part here, we've seen this directed path, and we see this desert place where God is led, and we see now these divine provisions that God has given through these five loaves and two fishes, and the comfort that God gave with the capacity of all this green grass that's out there, all these acres of grass for these 5,000 plus people to sit down. And we need to understand that it's through these things and for the honor and glory of God that we get to see the power of God demonstrated now through what's done. Verse number 41, we'll jump in here. where we left off, we'll finish. Let's back up to verse number 40. We read this last. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Verse number 41. And when they had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they did all eat and were filled. I want you to understand that this was done. This miracle was done through those and with those that were wanting, those that didn't have everything. Think about this young child that brought the five loaves and two fishes. It was all the food he had. That's all that he had for the whole day. If you read the parallel passage where it's found where he is, the crowd is following the Lord Jesus because of the miracles. And I'm sure that this young man, he had probably, prepared to follow the Lord Jesus that day to see what God was going to do. And his parents prepared this meal for him, and he was following the Lord Jesus. And now the Lord Jesus is coming and asking for what he has. This is all that he has. And think about the fact that, somebody comes to you and says, hey, that thing that you have, we need that for the ministry. Are we willing to give those things up? Do we understand in our lives that God owns everything that we have anyway? He's given them to us. Everything that I have, my children, my home, my cars, everything that God has given, they're all his. He owns every one of them. And if he were to ask me today, you need to give that up for the ministry, would I be willing to do that? This young lad has been asked that, and God is using the power of God is being demonstrated here with those that are wanting here, with those that maybe don't have everything that they need there or that they think they need to be used of God. Don't use that as an excuse in your life. When God calls you or leads you to do something, or maybe pastor comes to you and says, hey, brother or sister, I think I need you to do this for me. You just need to trust God with what you have. Don't ever say, but I don't have this. Trust God and use what God has already given you. Do you think God doesn't know what you have? He does. Trust him with what you have and do what God is asking. We have here, but the disciples are saying this. This is not the people saying this. Understand who is saying this here. The disciples, the one that know the Lord Jesus the most, they're the ones that say, Lord, we have but only these five loaves and two fishes. What are we going to do? This is the God of heaven. What are we going to do? He's already done miracles. They've already seen them. What are we going to do? We're in trouble. We're out here. All these people, they're hungry. You're asking us to go and get this? God's power has been demonstrated through this. But what are they among so many? That's what they ask. But what are they among so many? It's also not only done through those who are found wanting, but those who are found willing. And we dealt with this a little bit. And he said, the Lord said unto them, bring the fish to me. Go and get them and bring them to me. So this young lad had to be willing. Could this young lad have said no? Yes, he could have. This young lad could have said no. Think about it. He could have went home that day and said, Mom and Dad, you would not believe what happened today. That lunch that you made, it provided everything that I needed today. And in fact, the disciples, get this, Mom, the disciples came to me and asked if they could have my meal. But I said no because I needed this today because I needed substance. I had to be filled today. I knew that I needed food. So I said no because I know what I need. But you know what he said? We know what he said. Yes. And he gave it. Did the young man go home hungry? He did not. Because in other parallel passages, you see where they say, where it says, and they did all eat and they were filled. So not only did the young man go home full, so did everybody else. All I have, Lord, is five loaves and two fishes. And I'm willing to give that to you if that's what you want.
Are we willing tonight to be used of God in that direction, in that path, so we can see the power of God demonstrated? Not through us, not so that we can get glory and honor. We don't want that. We want Him to get glory and honor. Think of all the people now. This story is preserved in the Word of God forever. This young man, this story, this lad, probably not but 10, 12 years old, this story is preserved forever in the Word of God because he had just a little bit and he was willing to give it to the Lord as the Lord asked. And the power of Almighty God was demonstrated through this provision. He's willing to work through those that are willing. He says, bring them hither to me. Bring what you have. Not only that, but lastly we see here with those that are found working. The demonstration of God's power is not only done through those that are found wanting, and not only those that are found willing, but also those that are found working. It says here, let's go to John chapter number 6. We'll read here just a couple more verses. John chapter number 6. In verse number 11, it says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them who were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. So as much food as you wanted, it was there. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. The power of God was demonstrated here through those that were wanting, through those that didn't have what they thought was needed. And it was demonstrated through that young lad that was willing. And it was demonstrated through those that were working for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? God will do the same with us in our lives. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 14 and 15. And it says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. No matter the situation we face, the Lord already knows. The activities of this day did not take the Lord by surprise. He instead led them down a directed path to this deserted place that was used to show His divine provisions and demonstrated His divine power. When we find ourselves in places like this in our lives, let us remember the miracle of the loaves. There is a passage in the Scripture here, and I just for time's sake here, hang on. Lord, please help me. Okay, just for time's sake, I won't try and find it. Lord just brought it to my mind. The disciples, they were in the boat with the Lord Jesus, and they were going across the sea, and they were scared, and the Lord Jesus shows up, and they get over to the other side, and the Lord, it says in that passage, it says that they had forgotten the miracles of loaves. They had forgotten about what God had done. And so I want you to understand that it's important for us in our lives not only to trust God moving forward, but also remember how God has already provided in the past. There's not one person in here that's lacking. You would say, Brother Rob, you really don't know my situation. You're right. I don't. But God does. And He's given you everything that you need to do what He's calling you to do right now, today. We need to just trust Him and obey what He has to say in our lives. I'll read one more passage and we'll be done here. Let's go to Psalm chapter number 23. Psalm chapter number 23. All of these things that we've read about and heard about in this passage tonight remind me of Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't doubt the directed path. Don't doubt the desert place. Don't doubt the divine provisions, because you want to see the power of God demonstrated. Let's pray. Lord, we're just thankful for tonight, God. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the Bible calls it exceeding precious promises of God. Thank you for the precious promises of God that we have. Lord, just thank you tonight that we can trust you. Lord, you promised that you'd never leave us nor forsake us. God, you said cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord, we're just so thankful tonight that we have a shepherd, Lord, that cares for us. We're so thankful tonight, Lord, that we have a God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that went to the cross, that's provided all of our provision for salvation, shed his precious blood to forgive the sins of the world. We're so thankful that we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is ever interceding on our behalf. We're so thankful tonight, Lord, that we have the Lord Jesus that is preparing a place for us in heaven. We're so thankful tonight, God, that we have the promises that God, that you said, Lord, you're gonna go away. And if you go away, you're going to come back again. That where you are, Lord, that we can go and be with you. We're thankful for all these precious promises tonight. I pray, God, that we would just trust you for today and leave tomorrow to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and we'll have an invitation.